You're about to listen to a talk given at the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown at the beautiful Academy of Medicine in Atlanta, Georgia. If you want more information on our center, please see our Facebook page or our website. Thanks for listening. I hope these words of wisdom make a positive difference in your life.
Just like many of you here, I have been interested in spiritual subjects for quite a few years now. In fact, I find it hard to remember exactly when it was that I started even thinking this way. But I can still look back fondly at certain segments of my life, like my college years, for example, or my Air Force years, those were interesting years, and know that I was not thinking spiritually then at all. I can look back and see that very clearly. And what I mean by that is, I was not making the connection that my spiritual life and my regular life were the same life. Quite simply, that's what it was. I had the two things pretty well separated in my mind so they didn't interfere with each other. That way I didn't get confused. It was very, very easy. And I spent a lot of years doing that, keeping the two separated. It wasn't until I finally accepted the idea, and this is probably 30 some years ago, that there is only one mind and only one life, 1-1-1, like Angela said, that I finally started to get it. That I finally started to grow. And that's when I finally figured out that I was not just part, sort of a random product of some big cosmic process. That's when I figured out that my life was a unique individual expression of life as a whole, not just on Sunday, but every minute of every day, and that I had a part to play in how it turned out. Okay? That was a big revelation. Anyway, it's fun for me to think back on some of the things that were going on in my life in the BC years. I call that before consciousness, okay, you know, and to look at those things in the past from my present level of understanding. Have you ever done that? It's really interesting because you didn't have that understanding then, but now you do. That way, instead of holding on to any resentment or guilt or shame or whatever about something that I went through a long time ago, I could just smile at how dumb I was at the time. You know, it's pretty easy to do. Now, one of the things that I used to mess up fairly regularly, okay, anyway, something that caused me all sorts of problems in retrospect, was choosing the things that occupied my attention. Ken talked about this some last week, Ken Gordon. In other words, the things that I thought at the time were extremely important turned out to not be very important at all over the long term. While some of the things that I was ignoring at the time turned out to be the keys to my future. Now, this attention thing is important. The title of my talk is Attention in the Area. Any of you with a military background will recognize that phrase. When I was in college, I went to a military college, to the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. I was a cadet, uniform, the whole thing, okay? And throughout our entire college campus, I don't know if you've been there, they had a PA system that permeated everything. You hear it every room, every restroom, in the dormitories, in your dormitory room, in the classrooms, and whenever the headquarters or the officer of the day wanted to get some information out, and it started first thing in the morning and it went throughout the day, this announcement would permeate everything and it would say, attention in the area, attention in the area, and they would tell you whatever it was they need to tell you. Okay? Now, a number of years later, I got thinking about that because I heard the phrase somewhere, and I started thinking, wouldn't it be nice if we had that sort of every day for ourselves now, you know? If I would have this voice that would all of a sudden go, attention in the area, watch your prosperity thinking. Attention in the area, watch your relationship. Attention in the area, quit taking it personally, that kind of stuff. But we don't have that, so we are the ones who are going to be responsible for focusing it. So anyway, that's kind of what I'm going to talk about today. Because where we choose to focus our attention is not only one of the most significant elements of the creative process, it's also the part that we have the most power over. That's why it's important. That's what Ken Gordon was talking about last week, but I'm going to expand upon that, okay? But in order to use our attention effectively, we have to know how it works and what it does. We need to know those two things. Otherwise, we end up making this teaching a lot more complicated than it needs to be. You see, even when we finally realize that how we think is responsible for our life experiences, some of us still think that if we decide to change some things in our life, some of the things that we don't like, we have to do it by using concentration and willpower. We do. We get into that mindset. We think that if we just grit our teeth and we concentrate long enough and hard enough on what we want, that we'll be able to pull in the money we need, or we'll be able to draw in or capture or attract the partner we want, or we'll be able to hypnotize somebody by force of will into giving us the job that we want. The problem is, it doesn't work that way. Okay? Because our willpower, which is what we're using when we try to think that way, is not creative, it is directive. It's not creative, it's directive. And by directive, I don't mean we use our willpower to direct other people to do what we want, or direct the universe to force something to happen in a certain way. Our willpower is simply the thing we use to decide whether we are going to actually do what we told ourselves we were going to do. That's really all our willpower is. So we use willpower to stick to our purpose and to decide how long we are willing to direct our intent and how long we're willing to stick to our purpose. It's one of the first steps in the creative process. You see, creation itself is easy. It really is. As a matter of fact, we are creating all the time. We just need to make sure, and this may seem painfully obvious, but some of us forget it, that we're creating the things that we want to create. That's what we need to focus on. I mean, when I used to do a lot of counseling a number of years ago, I don't do so much anymore, and someone would come in and they'd sit down and they'd tell me about all the problems that they have in their life. I got this going on and this and this and this. Sometimes I would look at them and wonder and say, congratulations. I'm impressed. You're obviously an excellent creator. Okay? Now let's start working on changing what you create. Okay? Because you're creating all of this stuff. It's sort of the difference between driving your car into your driveway and driving your car into a wall. Okay? You drive it the same way, but the results are extremely different. So if we want to create a result that we want in our life, all it takes is our best attention and a little understanding of how the creative process works. You see, our strength of will has a very important but somewhat limited role in this process. We use our willpower to decide what it is we want to create and to keep our attention focused on seeing our desire as being already created, not out there, but in consciousness. Let me say that again. We use our willpower to decide what we want to create and to keep our attention focused on seeing our desire as being already created in consciousness. That's important. The relationship, the job, the healing, the money, whatever it happens to be, we use our willpower to gently but firmly keep bringing our attention back to knowing that the thing we desire is not only possible for us, but that everything necessary to make it appear has already been set in motion. Has already been set in motion. Now, if I'm creating something in consciousness that hasn't shown up in my life quite yet, it kind of raises an interesting question, okay? In whose consciousness am I creating it? And I could say, well, it's in my consciousness, of course, which is true in one sense, because I'm the one who's making the decision based on my personal desires and my beliefs. But since there's only one consciousness that we all share, that means that anything that I accept in my consciousness or you accept in your consciousness is also accepted in God's consciousness. Because there's only one consciousness, in the universal consciousness, in the one creative mind, because that's where it all starts. That's where every invention, every institution, every human interaction begins on the mental and spiritual level, at the level of universal, that is shared, intelligence. We believe in this teaching that this power that we call God, in addition to being infinitely creative, is also extremely dependable and supportive. So it never says no. Never says no. It's perfectly capable of creating anything we want, not by reaching down and rearranging it with a big giant finger, but through us. Through us. It never needs to be pushed or forced into doing anything. But what it does need from us, if we expect it to create what we want to create, is a mental and emotional image to work from. It needs Thomas Troward uses the phrase, it needs a prototype. It needs a prototype. It doesn't try to guess what we want because it can't, but it has to create something in our life because that's what it does. And it doesn't just sit there waiting for us to come up with a really smart idea either. You know, any idea will work because all thought is creative. So that means if I don't give God, Spirit, the creative power, whatever you want to call it, a clear and positive thought to work with, it will simply start creating from an unclear or a negative thought randomly selected from all of the garbage that spins through the average mind on an average day. If we let our mind and our emotions wander around all over the place, simply reacting to the world around us, it will proceed to create for us in a totally random way. That's why if we want a focused, deliberate result, we need to make sure that our attention is also deliberately focused on the result we want to create. Now think of it this way. Metaphor. I love metaphors, okay? If we walk into the woods one dark night, very, very dark, okay? But we've got a perfectly good flashlight, one of those big, strong camping flashlights, you know, with brand new batteries and a real strong halogen bulb, and we walk into the forest and we're throwing this thing up in the air and we're spinning it around like a baton, all we're going to see is random flashes of everything everywhere. But if we hold that flashlight steady in the direction that we want to go, then we will see very clearly what's in front of us. Right? Okay? We don't have to push the light in a certain direction. We don't have to narrow the band of the light with our hands so that it'll stay going where it needs to be going. If we point the flashlight in one direction and keep it pointed there, that's where the light has to go. That's where the light has to go. The power goes where we point it. That's how we direct the creative process too. It's the same thing. Even though all the power we could ever want is right here, right now, right where we are, all of the ideas, all of the innovation, every single thing that we need is still, okay, our deliberate focused attention. All we need is our deliberate focused attention. That's what determines where all this creative power is going to go in our life. That's why it's so important for us to think about not only what we think about on a regular basis, but how we think about it. But how we think about it. In the Science of Mind textbook, Dr. Holmes says this. It's one of my favorite quotes. He says, "We should carefully consider whether we are willing to experience the results of our thoughts." Talk about in your face, okay? We should carefully consider whether we are willing to experience the results of our thoughts. Maybe you've heard the whole country saying, you know, if you keep going the same way you're going, you're probably going to end up where you're headed. That's kind of the same thing, okay? That's true individually, and it's true collectively for society as a whole. And that's a pretty scary thought, especially when I personally think about the chaos and the confusion that sometimes exists in my mind, and I multiply it by the 7 billion people on the planet. I mean, it's no wonder we've got such a mess out there. On a personal level, we should frequently examine our most constant and deeply held thoughts and beliefs and emotions and opinions and assumptions, all of which occupy our mind, and decide if that's really where we want our life to go. Because like it or not, that's where it's going unless we decide to make a change. Now, here's something else we need to remember, and we touched on this last week. Whatever it is in life that receives our greatest attention increases and expands. Have you heard that before? You've heard it from a lot of different places. That's kind of the way the law of mind works. That means that the kind of thoughts we habitually fill our mind with tend to attract more of the same kinds of conditions that support those thoughts. So if we constantly think about money being in short supply, and our attention's always focused on how little we have and how much we're going to need and how we're going to get it, prosperity is going to continue to be a challenge. But it's not just thoughts, it's emotions. Our emotions give the power to our thoughts. So the kind of emotions that we allow to influence our state of mind attract more situations that encourage more of the same kinds of emotions. So if we're angry and afraid all the time in every situation we encounter, we're going to keep attracting more opportunities to be afraid or angry. The emotions attract more. It makes perfect sense. Now the good news is, it works great the other way too, if we pick the positive emotions. This process that we talk about, this spiritual way of thinking and living that is really incredibly simple, reliable, and effective, provides us with a truly wonderful means by which we can grow and improve not only our own lives, but the world around us. The only problem is we're not using it the way we ought to be using it. Most of the time, for most people, instead of giving our best attention to productive thoughts from our own imagination, from the wisdom in us, and supporting those thoughts with positive emotions of our own choosing, we let the people and the world around us, not to mention our own past experiences, limit what we believe to be possible. And we use our emotions to react to either what's happening to us now, what happened in the past, or what might happen in the future. And as a result, all of our attention is focused out there, okay, on the world of effect, instead of being focused in here on the world of possibility. That's why the vast majority of people in the world keep repeating the same old problems. If you look at history, I love to read biographies and histories and stuff like that. All of the truly great advances of the human race, whether it's in culture, in technology, in spirituality, in medicine, in science, whatever it is, they all came from a relatively small number of people who would not allow their attention to be distracted from what they knew to be possible, even though what they were doing had never been done before. That's the mentality. So let's take just a minute here and look at this on a personal level, because that's where we all have to function. When we have a problem in our life, either one that keeps repeating itself or one that seems impossible to solve, when it first happens, we do give it a lot of attention, okay? That's perfectly normal. The problem is we give our attention to the same old things, to the same old boring details. We focus on what's wrong instead of what's right. We focus on what is instead of what could be. It's those tapes we keep playing over and over and over in our heads saying, I don't have this. I should have done that. I wish things were different. It's not that fault. Not my fault. Why do these things always happen to me? Yada, yada, yada. I mean, the truth is, there's a good reason for this, we are a problem-oriented society. We are. That's part of the reason why we're so technologically advanced, but in some areas of our life, it holds us back. Our attention is almost immediately drawn to what's wrong, to what needs to be fixed. That's what makes us so good at fixing things that are broken. We can find the problem right now and fix it, but in terms of creating new things in our life, that's what keeps us trapped in a very narrow range of possibilities. Remember what we said a minute ago. Whatever it is in life that receives our greatest attention expands and increases. So as long as we focus our mental and emotional energy on the problem, on the thing that needs to be fixed, we're only going to continue creating more of the same. Now, there's a very good metaphysical reason for this. Dr. Holmes explains it very clearly, and that is because the undesirable conditions that we are working so hard to change are effects. They're physical effects in a physical world. They are the external manifestations of a certain consciousness that not only created them, but is sustaining them, keeping them in our life. Now, this is just as true about a job you don't like or a relationship you're struggling with as it is with what's going on in the Ukraine or the Middle East. And even though we may be able to change effects very easily, we really can, people do it all the time, it's only a temporary fix. They will not stay changed unless we change the consciousness that is keeping them in place. So we have to shift the focus of our attention to a higher consciousness, to a greater possibility. Now, this is a radically different way of thinking and living than the world has taught us. When we begin to look at our life and see the things that we desire as already existing in consciousness, that's where our attention needs to be focused, even before they show up in our experience. But that's what we have to do if we want to create something that's new instead of repeating what's already there. Now, learning to think this way takes something very special and very specific. It requires faith in a power that's greater than we are that we can use. We talked about that in the January series. It requires faith in a power greater than we are that we can use. And by faith, that's kind of a loaded religious word. I mean faith in something that makes perfect sense rather than faith in something that nobody can explain to us. So what does that mean? That means we need to be able to look at a bank account with $27 in it and know with 100% certainty that we are part of an abundant universe. That's what it means. It means we need to be able to hear something unpleasant that our doctor tells us and not allow that diagnosis to absorb all our attention because we're completely confident that our true nature is health. That's what it means. It means that even if our relationship isn't going well, being completely confident that within this relationship, love still exists. That's what it means. Or as Dr. Holmes puts it so beautifully, we need to be able to look a discordant fact in the face and know something better. We need to remember that this power that we have to focus our energy, it's like a superpower that we were all born with. It really is, okay? This power we have to focus our energy, it flows through us like the air we breathe. We have to remember that. It takes a very conscious and disciplined and confident mind to look at a situation and instead of being drawn into it mentally and emotionally, to be able to rise above it spiritually. And it takes a loving, fearless, and joyful heart to be able to look at some sad or desperate condition and to be able to see the presence of God behind it and within it. It takes those things. Now, it's a different way of thinking, but it's something we're all able to do. And if we want to take charge of our life instead of being done unto by every fearful or confused person, event, or belief system that comes along and grabs our attention, we need to learn to think this way and not just learn how to do it, but to start practicing it. Now, the most difficult time to practice this is when we are being distracted by events in the world around us that affect us personally. We get laid off. Our spouse walks out the door. Our health turns bad. Our portfolio evaporates 2 months after retirement. You know, all those funny little things. These things can be really, really scary. And it's hard to remember while we are looking at them saying, oh my God, what am I going to do? That our good is right here waiting for us to recognize it. But that doesn't make the truth any less true. There are always things that we can do to keep ourselves centered. Regular prayer and meditation is always a good start. I once read somewhere that 15 minutes of positive, healthy thinking is more powerful than 23 hours and 45 minutes of the day doing whatever it is we're doing wherever we are. And that's true because our mind prefers to think positively and constructively. If you do that, eventually that 15 minutes will expand and shift your attention for the whole day. I promise you it'll happen. Now, another thing we can do is to start paying attention to our physical and our emotional and our mental state while we are doing certain things. For example, if watching or reading the news makes you tense or depressed, at least don't do it first thing in the morning, okay? Don't get out of bed and turn on CNN. Okay? Save it for later. And when you save it for later, have something positive to read, an affirmation, something, or something positive to watch as soon as you're finished. Better yet, stop reading the daily news and read a weekly news magazine. At least you only get depressed once a week. Okay? Good. Or if being around a certain group of people makes us feel uncomfortable or angry on a regular basis, maybe we need a new group of people. Maybe we need a new set of BFFs, okay? You know? And if the people that bother us all the time happen to be related to us, you know? If it happens to be our family, we can consciously bring up something positive every time we're together. Whenever my family gets into that negativity spiral, and they've been doing it since I came into the picture 60-some years ago, okay, I don't get upset with it anymore. I wait till they finish, and then I start it on a positive tack. Eventually, it changes things. They can be trained. They can be trained, okay? It's time to stop letting other people determine our truth. That's really the core of all this, okay? Remember, our ability to deliberately choose focused positive thinking is always more powerful than somebody else's random negativity. It really, really is. Finally, if our attention is focused on something in our past, like an unpleasant job or relationship experience or something that we may have gone through, we can start consciously thinking about what kind of job or relationship we're ready to create now and focus on what that looks like and feels like instead. You see, in a way, shifting our attention mentally is sort of like shifting our body position when we've been sitting the same way too long. You know what that feels like? Sure you do. But it's not so much about what's in our mind as it is, are we satisfied with whatever it is that is drawing our attention? Have we chosen it? Is it helping us to grow? Are we willing to change it if we want our life to go in another direction? Are we choosing our thoughts, or are our thoughts choosing us? Or are our thoughts choosing us? Now, this is not an intellectual or psychological question. It is a spiritual question. It's a spiritual question because our thoughts are the creative power of God at work in our life. Our thoughts, and this is a good affirmation, it's as good as any, are the mind of God expressing itself in the world in, as, and through us. And there's nothing in the world that deserves more attention than that. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine, and so it is, and so it is. All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Things may have come up in your mind while I was talking, but take the ones that resonated with you, set aside the others for later, and let's know this together. Let's cement these ideas firmly in our mind. I know that there is one mind, one life, one consciousness, and that I am one with it, and so is every other person. I know that this power is with me, where I am all the time. I know that I am constantly able to choose where my mind is focused, what stays in my mind. Even if I can't control what comes into my mind, I can control what stays. And as I train myself to do this, I learn how powerful it is. I begin to see the world around me transforming as my thoughts transform. I begin to see people who do not fit in my life drifting away. I begin to see people show up who help me grow. I begin to see opportunities to create, opportunities to expand my prosperity, opportunities to deepen and enrichen not just my physical health, but my energy and my vibration and my presence in the world. And as I do all these things, I recognize that this is not something I'm creating out of nothing. This is what I am. This is me. This is me as a spiritual being having this human experience. So as I begin to recognize this power and begin to use this power, I can humbly and calmly be present anywhere, anytime, with anyone, and feel myself centered. I can feel myself centered and focused on what I need to focus upon. So right now, let's do something together. We're going to take a few moments of silence, and I invite you to take any situation in your life, pick one, that you are ready to change. See it in the center of your consciousness and see it transforming into something greater, into the greatest thing you can imagine. Take these few moments for yourself. with gratitude for this awareness and a clear understanding of its sacred significance in my life. I accept this change as being placed in consciousness, as already beginning in the physical world, and I give thanks. I give thanks for all that I have been given, and thanks for all that I have yet to give. I place my thanks into the one mind, recognizing that all of the life around me is something I have created out of the one mind. Knowing this, I release this treatment, this prayer, this knowing into consciousness, letting it do its good and perfect work in my life, and so it is.